Well, it's the fourth week of Advent, the last one. And so it's the last Wednesday, and of course, Sunday is the last Sunday in Advent. And I've been focusing on John the Baptist and his ministry during these days of Advent. You know, he was the forerunner. He did these special and wonderful things that God allowed him to do as the greatest prophet before the greatest of all prophets, as the scriptures would say. And he came along and he had this message that was always pointing to Jesus, you know. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. It's not me, it's him. He's coming. I've come to baptize or wash you clean in repentance. But he's coming, and he will come to wash you clean with fire and the Holy Spirit. Which made me think, in these days before Christmas, what it's like around the house, and how that's so relative to what happened in the Bible. A reflection, our lives, of what the Bible says. You know how it is at Christmas time around the house, especially this time of the year. People come in with muddy feet, right? Their shoes. Because they're, you know, walking around outside where they're not on the sidewalk, they're on the grass and they got mud, and they bring it in the house. And my wife is constantly on me. Take your shoes off at the door. Don't track it all in. Oh, how I long for summer. I can wear my shoes in the house. Well, you know how it is too, you know. You close up the windows to keep the heat in so the air becomes stale. And you got to watch the filters more often in the furnace and make sure that, you know, all the dust isn't just continually rotating through and you're getting it in your lungs, and oh, it just goes on and on, that stale air in the house. I can still smell the tacos we made a week ago. That's just the way it is this time of the year. But then again, you know, you got all these people coming. And this is when it dawned on me what it's like, because I'm in the guest room. My kids are coming on Christmas Day. And I go in the guest room, and since my kids were in there, it was my job to clean it up after they left. In other words, make the bed or whatever. And it hadn't been touched. We close the door so the dog doesn't go on the bed. I open up the door because I'm getting ready, and I know the kids are coming. Oh, I got to do all that. So I take everything off. I take all the sheets off, and I put them in the washer. Get them washed, make the bed, vacuum the rug, clean up the dust, close the door. I'm thinking, I wouldn't have to do this if it weren't Christmas. I could just leave this mess here until next year. It's true. It's just a really messy time of the year. You know, you get more mail, so there's more envelopes around. Pretty soon there will be more packaging around, and so on and so forth. And as I thought a little deeper about this, I begin to think, my life is getting messier. I got so much to prepare for. Like I said, I don't even remember what message I'm supposed to preach anymore. There's so many of them coming up, and I've written so many of them, I got to have them stacked and in folders so I know what to do next. It's just a very messy time of the year. And then in the midst of all that, try to keep your mind on what's really important. To open up the Bible, not just so that I can write a sermon, but so that it speaks to me. You get it? You're going out and you're buying presents for people and you're spending more money and you get a little anxious because you're beginning to wonder, what does it matter? And wherever you go, it's Santa Claus, right? It's reindeer and it's elves and it's all the dressings of Christmas. And you know in your head, in your heart, it's supposed to be Jesus, right? It's just a messy time of the year spiritually. And I know there's going to be people coming to church, and they're caught up in the culture and society of Christmas. And I know some of them will be here for maybe only once the entire year, or maybe twice if they're here for Easter. So I know how it gets to be a messy thing Christmas does spiritually. So I wanted to make it a little bit more real to you, something you could experience. So I sat down for a while, and I prepared my mess. Going through the world today and culture, news and stuff, do you know how messy the world is? This year, for the first time, we got something called porch pirates. You hear about porch pirates? They go around to people's porches and they steal your packages. You never even get a chance to see them. Can you imagine? And then I was watching, again in Florida, somebody shot at somebody else in the car. Why? I suppose it was a bad lane change. And then, of course, they had the whole Hollywood Me Too thing on the tube this morning. Discrimination. I don't know what to make of that. You know, you can accuse anybody at any time for anything these days, and if it sounds good, the person's guilty before proven innocent. But there's probably truth in all of this. It's messy. And of course, you all know about the new tax code and all that's being said about that, right? You know, some people think it's really going to get messier. Some people like it. Some people are saying, just wait and see. It's not going to turn out. And so you got this polarization of politics. Don't you? What a mess. Oh, and then we had this whole thing on the TV again with this kid that his mom videotaped him or videoed him in the car after he got bullied. Why did you have to do that to me? Bullying. You know, what a mess. We got more of that today, it seems like, than ever before. Well, terrorism just happened again. Where? In New York? Predators and molesters? Gun control? When is enough guns enough? What kind of guns? That's really a mess. Gangs and violence, they're growing here. There's more and more of them. Carjacking. The Packer defense. Man, what a mess. Sexism. Racism. Drug addiction. Alcoholism. I'm not done. Then there's the mess that we have in our own physical world. I just got over a cold. My wife got on me today because she got it from me. Quit passing on your colds to me. The big C. What a mess. Blindness, deafness, helplessness, hopelessness, homelessness, people suffering from anxiety, depression. We had that big fundraiser here this last fall because of the hurricanes, floods. Fires, we've heard a lot about this in California, right? War, always a war going on. And then there's all the hungry. I'm not done yet. Jesus said, out of the heart comes what? You remember? Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. He goes on, and he says, from inside, these things make us unclean. So we got hatred. We got coveting. Slander. Theft. Adultery. Murder. We had to come up with names for all this stuff because it's all around us all the time. Now look at the mess. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, how are you going to clean that up before communion? I'm not, because that's your mess, not mine. Well, it's mine too. It's all of ours. That's us. That's our mess walking into Christmas. I want you to walk over it. I want you to gather it in. I don't want you to just, try to make things clean now so that you can go to communion and have it all nice and sanitized. When you go to communion, you ought to be thinking about these things. Right? These are the things we have to deal with. They're in our lives. They're constantly. Here's the Christmas message of which John the Baptist preached. I come to cleanse you with repentance, which means you're one that already has faith in God. You need to deal with everything that's wrong. But he said, I point to one who is coming that will cleanse the world with fire and the Holy Spirit. He will bring with him a faith like we've never seen before. It's the same faith as those in the Old Testament, but they will see Christ clearly and what he's done for the world with his death on the cross and the mess we've really created and what God had to do to clean it up. So we get these verses in the Bible. Very truly, I tell you, said Jesus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again of what? Water. Cleansing water. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit cleanses you and makes you clean. Paul said, anyone who is in Christ is a new, clean creation. The old and dirty is gone. The new and clean has come. The writer of the Psalms put it this way, and you know this verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a pure spirit within me. That was part of our liturgy for so long. That was all about coming to church and being cleansed by God. Paul wrote, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were an unclean people, but now you are the people of God. In other words, cleansed. There's an old saying we used to use, cleanliness is next to. That's right. So it made me think, what's the best way to keep clean? Well, spiritually, of course, a change of heart. The dirt has to be driven out, and the clean has to be prepared within. This idea, driving out the darkness and lighting the light, which, of course, is all about Star Wars, isn't it? This idea that if you can drive out the evil, you know, Darth Vader and everybody that comes after him, all those who oppress people, the evil of the world making life difficult for the empire. If you could drive that out, the light of goodness will dawn on the people. We look to God's goodness for mercy and grace and hope. How do you keep things clean? All kinds of ways you clean things in the world. But there's only one way you can cleanse the heart. That's if God does what no man can do. Comes into your heart and drives out the sin. Another way you can do it is just simply to train for cleaning, which is, of course, what Mom and Dad always did with me. Did you know that I had to be taught how to vacuum? You probably don't remember this, but you were probably taught, too, at one time, how to run a vacuum and clean the floor. I was also taught how to sweep. I can remember very clearly my mom teaching me how to sweep and get underneath the toe kick, you know, and in places I needed to go, how to bend down and get the broom underneath the refrigerator. She also taught me how to do the dishes. She's still teaching me. Dad taught me how to clean copper pipe before you use any solder to bring it together. You got to clean it good. You got to use flux. Then you're ready to solder. You have to train for cleaning. Part of that is just recognizing that things are dirty. And it's time for cleaning. Have you examined yourself recently with the mess on the floor? Did I strike a chord anywhere? If not, I'll send around a bunch of papers and you can write your own stuff on there. We'll add it to the heap. We all got something. Nobody's heart here is absolutely clean unless examined by God through Christ. You see, that's where the true training comes in. We examine our hearts. We look to God and the gift of Christ to do the cleaning for us. We call that repentance. We, as the faithful now, follow in the shoes of John the Baptist because of the work of Jesus Christ. Repent in this Christmas time. Be made clean. You know, the other thing my parents told me is that, you know, and they did this often, they'd come into my bedroom. Son, does this room look clean to you? Yeah. Don't you see the dirt? Don't you see it has to be vacuumed? Don't you see you have to pick up your clothing? I don't know. It's like this all the time. I just get used to it. I was in here just yesterday and it looked good. Don't you see you have to clean? You got to clean every single day. I think some of us like to think that if you just get something clean once, it's good for life. You know how it is with your car though, right? You run it through the wash and what happens the very next day? That's right. You got to keep after it. Sin in this world doesn't just go away. In Christ, he washes it over. But we go on sinning, don't we? We don't want to. Sometimes we don't even try to. It's just a part of who we are. And so we must wake up daily and turn to God in Christ, look to him for help and salvation. We understand that as a spiritual reality, that we are people that live in the dirt and therefore are going to be dirty from time to time in certain habitual sins. Dirty all the time because of our simple nature as sinners. It's a constant thing to be made clean, look to God, and rejoice that he's willing to do it. What no other man can do. What we can't do, what only God can do, come into the heart and light the candle of his love and drive away the darkness. So I'm telling you today, yeah, look at the mess. Look at what we've made of ourselves. Look at what we continue to do. But rejoice in the fact that we can be made clean. That God has sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, for that exact reason and that possibility that we don't have to live like this all the time. But we can turn to him who loves us and knows he'll take care of the mess. Do you remember there was this doctor in Hungary? And this goes back to the turn of the 17th century. He had his practice. And back then, doctors used to begin the day taking in the dead and doing little autopsies to clarify why each person died. Then they would go on and they would do the rest of their doctoring as physicians. You see where the problem is? They were touching these people. They were working on them, sometimes opening them up, examining them. Well, many times the next place they went to the hospital to take care of moms about to give birth. Back in that day, it was very common to lose 1 and 6 babies at childbirth. And very common to lose 1 in every 12 moms in childbirth. That was the attrition. And people just thought that was normal. But this doctor said, no, I think we're taking something from out there in the world, taking it into the hospital rooms, and infecting our patients. Something we can't see that's on our hands. So he started to wash his hands in this chlorine treatment. And he found out that he went from 1 in 6 babies dying to 1 in 100. And only 1 in 200 moms dying in childbirth. He only lost something like 250 babies in the rest of his the rest of his work, his practice. He died early in his 40s. Everybody else around him said, you're nuts. That can't be true. This is just the norm. We have to live with it. People die. And he wrote and he talked to his colleagues, sometimes screamed at him, wash, wash, wash. And they wouldn't listen. Well, lo and behold, not even 100 years later, he was a prophet. He brought the good news that if you wash and get clean before you go in and deal with your patients, they have a good likelihood that they'll survive and actually do well afterwards. So here comes John the Baptist. What does he say? Wash and be made clean. Jesus, I will wash you and I will make you clean. And in today's world, come forward, be baptized, be washed, and be made clean. You today, as you come here and you worship, as you go home, examine yourself, see the dirt, wash and be clean. Be joyful and live. Amen.